Friends, the events we celebrate on Palm Sunday are events that took place in the midst of a great amount of confusion. I mean, well, it is all so perplexing. It looked like triumph, and yet somehow it didn't turn out to be as triumphant as people perhaps expected. And the emotions that people were feeling were all over the place. You know, there was a sense of foreboding, of danger. In fact, some of Jesus' friends in Galilee had attempted to persuade him not to go to Jerusalem, because it would be too risky. Because the powers that be were organizing themselves to take action against him because of his popularity. And they were not sure what the outcome would be. And we know from the biblical record that the chief priests were indeed plotting in the background. Because so many people had paid attention to the things that Jesus was saying and doing, and because, well, added to that was the further concern that arose as a consequence of his raising Lazarus from the dead in the community of Bethany, which brought him closer to the precincts of Jerusalem. Because while most of Christ's ministry had been in the region of Galilee in the north, Bethany was a community right on the outskirts of Jerusalem. And those who saw this miracle that he performed in Bethany were part of the Jerusalem community. And we also know that in the midst of all this confusion, there was one who understood what was happening, and that was Jesus himself. The record's quite clear. Jesus had been trying to explain to his disciples the sorts of things that were going to happen. He'd been quite explicit with them that he would go to Jerusalem. And in fact, he continued and said that he would be accused and arrested and crucified. Of course, he also said that death would not hold him and that he would rise from the grave. But the disciples who heard these conversations that Jesus had with those in the inner circle had grave difficulty understanding how all the pieces could possibly fit together. How could it be that the Lord's Messiah could be crucified? How could this happen? The story was to end in triumph, not in defeat. And they simply could not wrap themselves around the details that Jesus was trying to explain to them. And so, for some, there was a deep sense of foreboding as these events unfolded. Now, Jesus was accompanied by people who had great faith in him. I mean, there were those who had come from Galilee to Jerusalem with him to celebrate Passover. Going to Jerusalem to celebrate Passover was the heart's desire of an Israelite. And there were those who had come along with Jesus from Galilee for the celebration. And they were people who knew him. They were people who cherished him. They were people who had heard him teach. They were people who had observed the miracles that he had performed. And they were there. While some of them may have had concerns about what would happen, they were there as our Lord's supporters. They were friends from Bethany. People who had known Jesus for a time and loved him. And also those who had recently come to believe in him as a consequence of the raising of Lazarus from the dead. And there they were as part of this scene. And of course, working away in the background was the plotting of the chief priests, who were quite candidly simply looking for the right moment to arrest Christ. They had come to the conclusion that he was too popular. He said things that they couldn't accept, and they wanted to silence him. But there was sufficient support evident that they hesitated to act in the midst of the people, especially at the time of Passover. And so they were waiting for an opportunity. And the opportunity that came to them was in the person of Judas Iscariot. And what Judas had to offer them was information about where they could go and find Jesus alone and arrest him, where there wouldn't be a big public awareness of what was happening. And of course, that was information that Judas had access to. Making the scene even more complex was the fact that at Passover time, it was customary for residents of Jerusalem to go out and meet pilgrims coming from great distances to celebrate Passover in Jerusalem. And there were certain patterns of greeting the pilgrims that got applied to Christ also. But you see, those who understood more clearly recognized in the manner in which Jesus came into Jerusalem the signs of prophecy, because they recognized that his chosen way of entering the city was in fact a fulfillment of the prophecy of Zechariah, and that Jesus was in effect announcing himself by these simple choices of how he would come into the city as the Lord's own Messiah. And put this all together, and it was quite a scene. And all the participants in the scene, you see, had these mixed emotions running through their minds. I'm sure at moments vacillating from foreboding to a sense of triumph. At first, of course, there was amongst his followers that anxiety that peril or danger would come to Jesus if he came within grasp of the leaders in Jerusalem. And then surely at some moments along the way, they were saying, well, this is going pretty good. He's being well received. crowds are cheering him. We're here to support him. What can go wrong? And we know from Matthew's account that there were those in the city who were attentive to these events and asking the question, who is this that everyone is paying so much attention to him? Now, Matthew's account provides part of the scene. If we were to go and look at all of the accounts of the triumphal entry in the gospel records, we would see that the scene was somewhat more complex, because even Jesus, you know, wept over Jerusalem because he understood, because he recognized that he was about to be rejected. And the crowd were there cheering, some perhaps with hesitation and apprehension, but it was Passover and you celebrated. And in the midst of it all, well, others may have thought they understood what was going on, only Jesus really knew. Now, these were events that really happened. And they aren't just preserved for us as an illustration. They're a record of the things that occurred. But you know, there is in these events a real application to our lives today. I mean, think of it this way. How often are we caught up in confusion? We look at life and some things look really great and promising and encouraging, and we look at other things and they're ominous and fear begetting. And we don't quite know what to make of it. How will life come out? Which force will win? How will the struggle that seems to be there be resolved? And that's what was going on, of course, as Jesus made his entrance into Jerusalem for Passover. People were struggling. And that's not a strange experience to us, even though we weren't there in the midst of that particular time and that particular struggle. We understand that struggle from life. But these events also remind us of something. As I've said, the one who knew, the one who understood it all, the one who could see all the dimensions to it, and who could see the celebration and the peril, and who understood where it would end and the pain that would be inflicted, but yet somehow out of it all, the triumph that would come. And that was the Lord. And Jesus had tried to share this with his disciples, but in the busyness and stresses of life, they couldn't quite hear it. At least they couldn't put all the pieces of what he was telling them together in a way that made sense to them. And these events remind us that, you know, when the Lord reassures us, we need to trust it. When The Lord makes promises to his people that he will fulfill them. Even though in the moment we can't see how this is going to work out or how it can possibly be accomplished. I mean, the disciples who had been privy to Christ's conversations about these events couldn't comprehend how death could lead to life. They just couldn't grasp it. And I say that not blaming them, just acknowledging that they could not fit it together. And yet, it all came to pass just as the Lord had declared. The difficult things were experienced, and the triumph of the resurrection was also soon to be experienced. So when we find ourselves in life confused, feeling uncertain, wondering how God is going to bring good out of circumstances that may surround us, here is in these events of Palm Sunday, a reminder to us that the Lord knows and the Lord's plan is sure and complete. And our calling is simply to trust him. And so we rejoice in these things. We rejoice in them not because of the pain and anguish of the cross, but we rejoice in them because of the triumph of God's plan and his grace and the victory of his Messiah. For here was this somewhat unknown preacher from Galilee making his way into Jerusalem for Passover in the midst of a celebration and tumult that was soon to be followed by chaos and darkness and danger and death. And yet, our Lord resolutely continued through all that was happening. And aware of the victory that would follow. So friends, ponder this. When life seems confusing and uncertain, that the Lord does know the answer, and that the Lord's promises are good and will be fulfilled. And then I add, come back next week, because then we celebrate that death is not triumphant and that life is achieved in resurrection, our Lord's resurrection, and ours also in him. Thanks be to God.